Morning. Today's daf in Sukkah, daf Ches. We're on Zion Amid Beis. We have a little bit to finish up from yesterday's daf. We'll do so, and we get to our circular Sukkah of the day. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Lezecher Nishma Slovis Lupin Zaltzman. The Gemara yesterday, we ended up with a statement made by Abai. Abai says, I could take a number of Tanayim and string them together with one basic common denominator, and that is that these Tanayim require a Sukkah Kavua. Now, as we already pointed out, we learned on day one of the Masechta that one of the definitions of a sukkah is that it has to be a sukkah sarai, it has to be a dira sarai, a temporary dwelling. Torah says that you make a sukkah for 7 days, meaning we don't want it to last for a while. We build our houses, we want them to last for a while. We build a sukkah, we don't want them to last for only 7 days. In fact, if you go back to the first day of the Masechta, so that was the story behind Rava. Rava says, how do I know that a sukkah need only be it has to be less than 20 amas, so the Gemara gave a number of explanations, Rava the Amora says, that the reason why a sukkah has to be less than 20 amas is because it's a dira sarai, because it's a temporary structure. Once you start talking about constructing a sukkah that's over 20 amas, so by definition it's going to be a keva, it's going to be a permanent structure. So to avoid that, so we go with has to be less than 20 amas. Okay, and Rav Yehuda presumably disagrees, and that's one of the Tanaim who say that the sukkah has to be not a dira sarai, but the sukkah can and should be, let's say should be, I'm not sure about that, but could be, okay, that's a better way to say it, could be a dira keva. If you take a look at the Gemara, we're starting right in the middle of the Amud and Zayin Amud Beis, Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, so the first one in the line is the Merzei, Amar Abaye. So here we go. Number one, Rebbe. Number two, Rebbe Yoshia. Number three, Rebbe Yehuda. Number four, Rebbe Shimon. Number five, Rabbi Gamliel. Number six, Beit Shammai. Number seven, Rebbe Eliezer. Number eight, Acherim. Okay. So eight Tanayim, all with one basic point, which is that a sukkah could be dira keva, but that's the general point, and each one of them manifests itself differently. And the Gemara goes through each one of them. Kul shvilu sukkah diras keva binan, that it requires a sukkah requires to be a diras keva, a permanent structure. Now Rabbi Ditanya, so the Gemara goes through each one of these sheets. First of all, we go through Rabbi Amar kol sukkah shein ba arba amos al arba amos psula. So the position of Rabbi we already saw earlier in the Masechta, and he says that the minimum dimension of a sukkah needs to be 4x4 amos. Okay, that's not how we hold. We don't agree with Rabbi. Rabbi's position is argued with both from the standpoint of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So it's fascinating how Rebbe can argue with Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rebbe comes at a much later stage in terms of the Tanaim. And, okay, whatever. However that works in terms of Machlokas. But Rebbe says no. Rebbe says the sukkah has to be minimally 4x4 amos. Which, as we pointed out earlier in the Masechta, that's really the sheer bias. That's the requirement, the minimum requirement for a house. So obviously, Rebbe's of the opinion that your sukkah has to be house-like, and therefore it has to be minimum 4x4 amos. That's number one. Number two, Rabbi Yoshia Hadamaran. So the Gemara says, as far as Rabbi Yoshia is concerned, so that we said, we went over in yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Yoshia has a requirement, which brought us to the conclusion that he also requires a sukkah to be a diras keva, a permanent structure. Rabbi Yoshia said yesterday's daf that the shade can be provided not only by the schach on the top, but also by the sides of the house as well. Okay, so he also is of the opinion that it could be a permanent structure. Rabbi Yehuda, number three, Rabbi Yehuda did not sukkah shigavola mala mechaf ama psula. Rabbi Yehuda allows the sukkah to be higher than 20 amas. I'm sorry, let me read three more words. Rabbi Yehuda machshir, and Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kasher. So you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a sukkah can be over 20 amas. So how can a sukkah be over 20 amas? Because he is of the opinion that it could be diras keva. Number four, Rabbi Shimon ditanya, beiskil chasam v'gimel afilo tefach. Rabbi Shimon amar gimel chasam v'dal afilo tefach. What's the number of walls that a sukkah needs? So we're of the opinion, meaning we, the halakhic consensus is of the opinion that a sukkah need only be three walls. And as we spent yesterday discussing, the third wall doesn't even have to be a wall. The third wall could be something. It's a tefach. Exactly how to place it, that's yesterday's daf. Fine. So that's the Tanakhama's position. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says that a sukkah has to be four walls. So why does it have to be four walls? So once again, because be'ikr, in other words, the essence of his position is that a sukkah has to be diras keva. Number five, Rabbi Gamliel detanya osa sukkasa barosha gala barosha sfina. Rabbi Gamliel posa Rabbi Akiva machshir. What if you throw your sukkah on the top of a boat or on the top of a wagon? Okay, or you put your sukkah in the back of a pickup truck. Not exactly the Gemara's example, but fine. So that's a machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Gamliel says it's no good. No good? Why not? What's the problem? It has the dimensions of a kosher sukkah. So presumably the problem is that if you're throwing it on the back of a wagon, if you're throwing it on a boat, it's a temporary structure. So it's and it can't be a temporary structure. So that's another another Tana who says that a sukkah has to be dearest keva. Beit Shammai did not mishai rosha ruba besukkah v'shulchan besukkah bayis Beit Shammai posim beis ol machshirin. So we go to the Mishnah on Chav Tes. We quoted this Mishnah already once before, that if your head and the majority of your body is in the sukkah, but your table's in the house, so Beit Shammai says that that's no good. Now, mind you, it's a little bit strange because we already explained the issue is it's not a sukkah problem, it's a you problem. The problem is that you may incline and lean over to the table and the table's under the house and it's not in the sukkah. Okay. But the Gemara is right now assuming that what's behind this, what's even further behind this, is that Beit Shammai requires the table to be in the sukkah because the sukkah has to be more of a permanent structure. Rabbi Eliezer did not. And then Number seven, Rabbi Eliezer did not. How is the sukkah come in surfo? Shesach lakosa, Rabbi Eliezer postel. Lefi shein lagag. What if I have a sukkah where I don't know where the walls end and the schach begins? A couple of examples that are given over here. One example is it's kaminsrif. It's like a conical shape. A sukkah that looks like a cone, like an upside down cone. So where is the schach? Towards the top of the conical. Where's the walls? Towards the bottom of the conical. Okay, where's the point of separation? I don't know. So Rebbe Loza says that's no good. Or another simple example, let's say you take some schach and you lean them like at a 45 degree angle against the wall. And so now they're resting on the wall. So now I basically insert myself into the triangle that was formed between the floor, the horizontal wall, and the 45 degree schach. Okay, good or no good? So Rabbi Elazar says it's no good. I don't know where the schach begins. I don't know where the walls end, where the schach begins. There's no point of demarcation. So Rabbi Elazar says it's no good. And v'chachamim machshirim, the chachamim say no, it's fine. And again, what's behind the position, Rabbi Elazar? The Gemara assumes because that's it's a teepee, it's a hut, it's a right. It's nothing. It's not a permanent structure, and therefore it's not going to be a good sukkah. And acherim detanya, and then the position of acherim, meaning this is the eighth and final tana. Achim just simply means others, meaning it's a position that's espoused by Tanaim, but for whatever reason, no attribution is given in terms of who actually says it. Achim detanya, achim omim, sukkah sui kishovach, psula. If the sukkah looks like a shovach, if it looks like if it's cylindrical, if it's a round-shaped sukkah, so that's not good. Lefishe in los avis, because it has no corners. And a house, by definition, has corners. Okay, so much for modern architecture, but the Gemara says, but if it's circular in shape, it doesn't have corners, that's not a house, it's not a permanent structure, and therefore it's no good. Okay, Adkan. So the purpose of Abaye was simply to string together eight different Tanaim, and although they have different applications of the principle, but the principle is the sukkah has to be a permanent structure. And that's why a number of these sukkahs are no good. Okay, which again, all is interesting because that's generally not how we follow. We follow that the sukkah needs to be a temporary structure, not a permanent structure. So, including this list, if you see Beit Shammai, we generally don't follow Beit Shammai, Rabbi Eliezer. He's a Shamuti. We generally don't follow like Rabbi Eliezer. So, okay. Right, most of these positions are not accepted lahalacha. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. All right, that's the end of Abaye, and now we begin with what I would formally call today's daf. Okay, today's daf is really dedicated to two topics. The first topic of today is basically making a round sukkah. Now, I know the Gemara already stated that you can't do that, but remember, though, that was the Tana who says that a sukkah can't be round because a sukkah has to be a permanent structure. We don't follow that position. We follow the position that a sukkah can be a permanent structure. So basically, now we're talking about a sukkah, and we're talking about a round sukkah. Okay, so is it a big deal? Shouldn't be a big deal. Meaning, even though it doesn't have walls per se, and I guess one of the problems, which the Gemara doesn't really address, is that if it's a round sukkah and it's not a square sukkah, so how do I count the three walls? Okay, and that's certainly an issue, and maybe you'll shave off arcs of the circle, and you'll prorate, you know, each arc being correspondent to a wall. Okay, maybe you'll speak in those terms, in those kinds of geometric terms, but still, that's not really the Gemara's issue. The Gemara has one very simple issue, which really will take all of Chesam Ad Aleph to discuss, which is, as you can see, in terms of Gemara, not a long daf, and that is, let's convert. Basically, we know that there's a minimum area of a sukkah. Okay, And all we're going to do now for the next Amud of Gemara is basically take our minimum area of a sukkah, which is a square measurement, and convert it into a circle. I mean, to be honest with one another, it shouldn't be that hard. It really shouldn't. Meaning, because we basically know what the relationship is between a square and a circle. If you look at all my artwork on the board this morning, you'll see that's coming up right now. But it really shouldn't be this difficult. The problem is going to be is that we're going to start with the statement made by Rav Yochanan, and we're going to kind of work our way backwards. Instead of just simply saying, well, what's the minimum dimensions of a sukkah? Okay, so now let's just simply take that square and convert it into a circle. Instead of going about it that way, what the Gemara does is the Gemara introduces us to a statement by Rav Yochanan, which at face value is really difficult to understand. We're going to make an attempt to understand. We're going to make a second attempt to understand. If I'm not mistaken, we're going to make a third attempt to understand Rav Yochanan's statement in the context of what we know to be the accepted halacha. That's the format of the Gemara. That's the structure of the Gemara. And that's why the Gemara gets a little bit complicated. It's really not that hard. Just from a Gemara standpoint, from a geometric standpoint, it's not that challenging. Okay, so first let's introduce ourselves to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Sukkah hai sui ki kivshan. So if I have a sukkah, it's a kivshan. Okay, so again, the kivshan is the oven. Right, it's an oven, but hard for us to conceptualize because it's round in shape. Basically, you're making a circular sukkah. So sukkah hai sui ki kivshan. Im yesh ba hakeifa kedei leishe ba chavda b'nei adam chera v'im la psula. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you want it to be kosher sukkah? So it needs to be where it's surrounded by 24 people. 24 adult males are going to sit around on the perimeter, and then and only then is it going to be a kosher sukkah. Okay. Now, we'll start with your left. Basically, today we're going from your left to my, to your right. You're moving towards me. Okay, so the first statement that Rabbi Yochanan has, a circumference of 24 people. Now, the Gemara's assumption is going to be, we'll challenge the assumption a little bit later on, but the assumption is that the average width of a person is one amma. So 24 people equals 24 ammas. So right now what we have is a sukkah that has a circumference of 24 ammas. Rav Yochanan says, if it has 24 ammas as a circumference, then you're fine. And if it's less than 24 ammas as a circumference, so then the sukkah is no good. Okay. First and foremost, let's introduce ourselves to the relationship between circumference and diameter. Okay, mathematicians have put it into a Greek letter simply because it's an irrational number, right? We call it the mathematicians. I'm not sure if I qualify, but I dabble. The mathematicians refer to it as pi. Okay, so pi is just simply a representation of the relationship between circumference and diameter. Why is it expressed as a Greek letter? Why not just simply give it a number? So as I explained, because it's an irrational number. There is no number, meaning it's just simply an ongoing fraction which has no end. I've shared this with you in the past. It's fantastic. I don't know historically how it works out, but who stated that it was an irrational number, the relationship between diameter and circumference? So the Rambam. The Rambam actually writes, you could take a look at this in Erev, in his Perusha Mishnayos. He actually writes, we don't know the relationship between circumference and diameter, and the Rambam then writes, but it's not that we don't know. The Rambam writes, it doesn't exist. The number doesn't exist. The Rambam, I mean, we use terms irrational number, but the Rambam actually states that it's an irrational number. It doesn't exist. So what we, therefore, we're entitled to do is that we are allowed to Given a rough approximation. The Gemara says time and again, and this is going to be our assumption for the remainder of today, is that the rough approximation between circumference and diameter is 3:1. Okay, now we happen to know that pi is a little bit off. Pi is 3.14, and then it's just an ongoing series of numbers after that point in time. Fine. But from a halachic standpoint, the approximation of 3:1 is fair, legitimate, and is discussed throughout the Gemara as the relationship between circumference and diameter. Just so everyone should know, not only is it the Gemara who makes an approximation of circumference to diameter, it's in Tanakh. You can already find this approximation between circumference and diameter in Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim, Melachim Aleph, 8th parak, I think, thereabouts. So the Gemara, sorry. One track mind. So the Navi over there mentions how Shlomo HaMelech built a. It's like basically it was like a large mikvah. very large mikvah in front of his house, and that mikvah that the Shlomo HaMelech built, the Navi says, it was 100 amas in diameter and 300 amas in circumference. Okay. And we spent some time not so long ago in Erevin going over the volume of the mikvah, and we had a little bit of issue determining the volume of the mikvah, but fine. Anyway, so this approximation of 3 to 1 is in the Gemara, and it even goes so far back as Navi, as Malachim. I shared with you in the past, there's a Kriuk Siv over there in Malachim that takes us from the approximation of 3 to 1 to something which is much closer to pi. But not for now. That's, you know, another time if you want to get dazzled with numbers. But anyway, right now, let's go back to our sukkah. So Rav Yochanan says that if the sukkah has a circumference of 24, so then it's a kasher sukkah, but anything less than 24, it's not going to be a kasher sukkah. To which the Gemara is astounded, meaning, what is he talking about? I start with the one all the way to the right. So if it has a circumference of 24, so you're talking about, again, the relationship is going to be 3 to 1. So you're talking about a diameter of 8 amas. 8 amas? That's huge. Meaning, what kind of sukkah are we talking about in terms of minimum base area, length by width? What kind of sukkah are we talking about? We were talking about 7 by 7 tefachim. And even if you want to go as big as you can in terms of a minimum area, Rebbe's opinion of 4 by 4 amas. 4 by 4 amas? I can fit 4 by 4 amas. That's 8 amas in diameter. So 4 by 4 amas, that what Rav Yochanan is painting over there, that picture that he's painting, is a much larger sukkah than what we seemingly need. And this is a problem with Rav Yochanan's statement, and for the rest of Chesamad Aleph, we're going to try to find a solution. What was Rav Yochanan thinking? That's the Gemara's issue. So sukkah, sukkah, kivshan, im yesh, I'm sorry, I'm just rereading. Im yesh bekefa g'day leshe b'chavda b'nei adam k'shera v'im la p'sula, keman. So the Gemara starts off by saying, first of all, who's he following in terms of the minimum base area of a sukkah? So karebi damar, kol sukkah shein ba'arba amos al arba amos p'sula. Okay, so first of all, let's start off by assuming that Rav Yochanan agrees to Rebbe. Okay, and again, that in of itself is strange, because we know Beis Shammai argues, we know Beis Hillel argues, so, and he chooses Rebbe, okay, fine. Rav Yochanan's following like Rebbe, fine. But the Gemara says, Michti. But the Gemara says, but let's think about this. Gavra Bamta Yosef, so again, the Gemara's assumption is that every person takes up an Amma, so the 24 people described by Rav Yochanan sitting in a circle are each one of them taking up an Amma, so that's 24 Ammas. So that's easy. Now, Kol Sheyesh Be'kefa, Shosh Shetfachim, Yesh Bo'rochav Tefach. So the Gemara says, so that means then that we know the relationship between the circumference and the diameter is 3 to 1. So the Gemara says, so now, if we're assuming, like Rebbe, that the sukkah only needs to be 4 by 4 amos, so what are you doing 24? Says the Gemara, all you need is betreis arsagi. 12 would be sufficient. How did the Gemara get to the number 12? So now you can take a look at that second picture. Second picture that I drew on the board has now a circle with a diameter of 4. Now I understand that's not where we want to get to, but I'm just explaining how the Gemara's numbers. So it has a diameter of 4. So a diameter of 4 has a circumference of 12. Again, just assuming
a little less than Rebbe's 4 by 4.
Understood. We're moving in that direction. But right now I'm just explaining. So the Gemara says it's 4. So a diameter of 4 is going to have a circumference of 12. So the Gemara says, so Reb Yochanan says, I need 24 men sitting around in order for it to be kosher sukkah. The Gemara says, he can half that number. It could be 12 men, and you would have a diameter of 4. And wouldn't that be good enough? So the Gemara says, no, that wouldn't be good enough. Because hani mila bi gula. So the Gemara says, yeah, but all you did was just take 4 amas and run it right through the middle. And create the diameter with 4 amas. But the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not a sukkah. A sukkah is square. So what we're going to do, hani mila bi gula, va bi rivua by tfe. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually frame the circle. So now we're up to the third picture of the day. So in other words, we're going to take our sukkah, our round sukkah, and let's assume that the diameter is going to be 4 amas. And we're going to take a square around it, and we're going to wrap a square around it. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, and now the assumption is that we're going to have the men not sitting in a circular, in a circle around the diameter, but basically we're going to have them sit in a square formation. The diameter is still going to be 4 amos, but basically now they're going to sit in the square formation. So the Gemara says, so fine, michti. So the Gemara says, even if you're right, kama maruba yosar ala eagle. So I have the circle, and again, the circle is a circumference of 12 amos. The Gemara says, yeah, but we're going to wrap a square around the circle. Okay. So the Gemara says, even if we're going to do that, so kama maruba yosar ala eagle revia. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's only now makes it a quarter larger. Meaning, again, if you take a look at the picture over there, so you have a circumference, the third picture. So you have a circumference of 12. So even if I wrap a circle around it, so if the diameter is 4, that means that every side of the square is going to be 4. Right. So now it's simple math of 4 times 4. So that's 16. The Gemara just simply says it's a quarter larger. Fine. Meaning the relationship between a square around a circle is basically the ratio of 3 to 4. So if the circle is going to be 12, the square is going to be 16. Fine. So, but even if you're right, now all we need is a circumference of 16. Again, now it's not even a circumference. But the perimeter only needs to be 16. And again, we go back to Rav Yochanan's statement. Rav Yochanan says 24. Where did he get such a large number from? So the Gemara says, B'shit Sosagi. So it's enough with 16. Hani mila beigel denafak migo revua. Aval revua denafak migo igula by itve. Mishum morsa de karnasa. So the Gemara says, fine. But again, here's the problem. The problem is that we're trying to take a circular sukkah and convert it into a square. So the Gemara says, here's the mistake that we made. What we assumed is that we have a diameter of 4. And there we made a square around such a circle. The Gemara says, no, that's no good, because the circle, which is a diameter of 4, Gemara says, okay, but if I'm in the center, it's 2 amos going in that direction, 2 amos going in that direction. But that's only if I'm in the center. But let's say I want to sit on the lower edge of the circle, or on the higher edge of the circle. Obviously, I mean, it's not the edges of the sukkah are not going to be 4 amos away from me. Basically, what I want is, I want to take a square sukkah, 4x4 amos, and I want to make a circle around that. So that regardless of where I am in the sukkah, I'm going to be sitting in a 4x4 sukkah. So now we finally get to the last picture over here. So the last picture over here basically takes us to where the Gemara now is basically looking at the real circumference of the circle. So here I go. I start with a sukkah of 4x4 amos. Okay. Now the Gemara is about to tell us that we're going to go, obviously, across the diagonal. The diagonal represents two things. It represents the hypotenuse of the square, and it also represents the diameter of the circle. Okay. Good. So now, that diagonal, that hypotenuse, what is it going to be? So that's very simple Pythagorean theorem. So the Gemara here just is going to put in a fraction, but it's basically 4 squared plus 4 squared equals the hypotenuse squared. So just to put it in simple fraction terms, so it's basically going to be, we generally refer to the relationship as the square root of 2. You want to call it 1.2. The Gemara refers to it as 1 and 2 fifths. Either way, you take the sides of 4, you figure out the hypotenuse of being 5 and 3 fifths. So now I have the hypotenuse of that triangle being 5 and 3 fifths. The hypotenuse is also the same as the diameter. And now, if I want to draw a circle around that, so it's a simple ratio of 1 to 3. So you take the hypotenuse, you multiply it by 3, which I did on the bottom over there, and you get to 16 and 4 fifths. So finally, when all said and done, so if I want to have a base minimum area of a sukkah, which is 4x4 amos, and even if I want to draw a circle around it, so that I get to include the corners of that of the square. So fine. So at most, the number of amos that I need of a circumference around such a square is only going to be 16 and 4 fifths. And once again, we go back to Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan was demanding that we have 24 amos going around, to which the Gemara says, I don't understand, where'd he get that number from? Let me just read all this inside. I explained all of it outside. So the Gemara says, Mechte. So we're about 6 lines down. Kol amta berivua amta v'trechum shabalachzona. So the Gemara says that when you have 1 amma of the square, so it's trevechum shabalachzona. Amta v'trechum shabalachzona. So it's 1 and 2 fifths amma on the diagonal. In other words, the Gemara is just articulating a formula to go from the side of a square to the hypotenuse of a square. So b'shivsa nechichum shasaga. So the Gemara doesn't go through the steps of math, but basically it comes out to 17 minus the fifth, or 16 and 4 fifths. So the Gemara says, so how is Rav Yochanan telling me that I need 24 amas around the circumference when we did the math and we figured out, the Gemara did the math, and the Gemara figured out that really all you need is a circumference for a base minimum sukkah is only 16 and 4 fifths. That's the question. The Gemara tries an answer, lo duck. The Gemara says, well, maybe Rav Yochanan was giving a ballpark figure and he was being imprecise. So the Gemara says, Amar d'amrin lo dak porta tuva mi'amrina. The Gemara says, I don't buy that because, look, I understand you don't like fractions. I understand you like to speak in whole numbers. I get that. But 16 and 4 fifths, Rav Yochanan will go to 24. That's not rounding off. That's not even rounding up. We're nowhere in the ballpark. So the Gemara says, I can't imagine that Rav Yochanan would say 24 is just like an imprecise estimate. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara now is going to make another attempt of explaining Rav Yochanan. Right now, at this stage of the Gemara, we know what the actual circumference needs to be around a base sukkah of 4x4 amos. And by the way, parenthetical note, you realize that this entire discussion that we're having over here only assumes like Rebbe, which is that a base minimum area of a sukkah is 4x4 amos, which again, we don't even, la halacha, we don't even follow. But if we go like Rabbi, which the daf today is going like, where the base area of a sukkah is 4x4 amos, so we know this is the real circumference. The circumference only needs to be 16 and 4 fifths. And now we go back to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan is demanding that it be a circumference of 24 amos. So right now we're kind of at a standstill. How did Rav Yochanan get to such a large number? So the Gemara suggested, well, maybe he was just rounding off, rounding up. The Gemara says, I can't imagine. Next suggestion of the Gemara. Mi savris gavra ba'amta yasif, talsa gavra betarti amta yasfe. So the Gemara now has a thought process, which quite frankly, all the airlines have the same thought process. A person doesn't take up a full amma. Nah, you know what? We can squeeze three people into two ammas. Okay? So basically, it's the difference between first class and coach. So now, when Rav Yochanan was talking now about this, about 24 people around, so we assumed in the beginning that 24 people represents 24 amas because it's one amma per person. The Gemara says, nah, what Rav Yochanan's assumption was is that the 24 people are actually three per two amma. Okay, so kama havalu shitzar. So the Gemara says, fine. So now all we're going to do is we're going to start off with Rav Yochanan's statement, but now with this small conversion, it's going to go from 24 people down to 16 amas. Because we're just going to change one of the assumptions that it's three people per two amma. So the Gemara says, okay, now what comes out? So with that conversion, so basically now I want 2/3 of 24, so that's 16. The Gemara says, okay, but now we miss the mark. Meaning if 24 people is equal to 16 amma circumference, what's the real number? The real number is 16 and 4 fifths. So that was a nice try, but the problem now is that we're off. So the Gemara says, nechichum shabinon. We need 16 and 4 fifths. And the way we have it now is that Rav Yochanan, who says 24 people, which is equivalent to 16 amas. So the Gemara says, lo dak. So the Gemara says, okay, but here, now we could say it. Rav Yochanan was just simply being a little bit imprecise, meaning Rav Yochanan was just simply rounding down from 16 and 4 fifths down to 16. So the Gemara says, no, I don't buy that. I can't buy that over here. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. You want to round up, that's fine. You want to round down, that's not fine. Now in this particular case, it's the other way around. Right? The real number is 16 and 4 fifths. Now what Rav Yochanan is saying is 16. Okay, so he's rounding down. The Gemara says, but you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because if you go with Rav Yochanan's estimation, you don't have a kosher sukkah. I mean, the real number is 16 and 4 fifths. If what Rav Yochanan, when he says 24 people, actually means 16 amas, and you build a sukkah, 16 amas circumference, you don't have a kosher sukkah. So I can't imagine, says the Gemara, that Rav Yochanan is going to round, that's fine, that I get, but he's going to round down to 16, which then means that if you build your sukkah exactly 16 amos, you're not going to fulfill your obligation, all because Rav Yochanan wanted a round down? Can't be. So Eim Mizar Mi Amrin Lodak Amar Rav Asi. Sorry. Rav Yochanan wouldn't do that. He wouldn't round down to be more makel and ultimately end up allowing you to make a non-kosher sukkah. So Amalei Rav Asi LeRav Ashi LeOlam Gav Rav Amti Yosef. So the Gemara goes back and the Gemara says, okay, but first of all, that was just an attempt to explain Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara says, no, let's go back to our original assumption that when you have Rav Yochanan said 24 people, each person was an Amma. We're back in first class. Good. And now it's one Amma per person. Great. And now the Gemara says, so again, we're back to our original problem. He's having a circumference of 24. We have a circumference, the real circumference of being 16 and 4 fifths. Rav Yochanan makam gavri lo kachashif. So the Gemara says there's one thing that we misunderstood regarding Rav Yochanan's original statement. When he said 24 people sitting around the sukkah, we assumed they were inside the sukkah. The Gemara says no. Really, they were not sitting inside the sukkah, they were just around the perimeter. And so therefore, basically what we're going to now do is we're going to create an interior ring. I can do that right now. We're basically now going to create an interior ring around inside the 24. And the Gemara's assumption is going to be that this interior ring has a circumference of 18. Okay? The reason why is because I basically take an Amma off from here and I take an Amma off from here and I work into the interior circumference, and the interior circumference is going to be 18. So the Gemara says that's what Rav Yochanan meant. He said 24. Obviously, he meant 24, but they weren't in the sukkah. They were just outside the sukkah. The kosher sukkah that's created is going to be interior of the 24. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Asi LeRashi LaOlam Gavra Bamta Yosef. Rav Yochanan Makum Gavra Lo Kachashiv. He's not considering the people themselves. So Kama Havalu Tamnei Srei. So the Gemara therefore says, so now we're dealing with a circumference of 18. So the Gemara says, now we're more comfortable with these numbers. Why? Because b'shivsa nechicham shesagya. So the Gemara says, because again, what's the real number? The real number is 16 and 4 fifths. That's how much the circumference actually needs to be. Hainu delo dak ulochom alo dak. So the Gemara says, and now we're good. Because Rav Yochanan was making a statement. Rav Yochanan was rounding, in this case he was rounding up. His requirement is to make a sukkah of a circumference of 18 amas. The Gemara notes, it doesn't actually have to be 18 amas. It would be okay if it were 16 and 4 fifths amma. Rav Yochanan was just simply ballparking it. Oh, but Rav Yochanan's original statement was 24. What he meant is that the 24 were exterior to the actual sukkah itself. Okay.
But he's going to put 24 inside?
No. In other words, the 24 is just a number to gauge how big a sukkah it is. But the assumption going up until this point in the Gemara is that the 24 people were in the sukkah. Now what the Gemara is saying is, no, that's not true. The 24 people were around the sukkah. I don't know, I have it in my mind as a visual that the 24 people like building the sukkah. So they're all standing around, they're all... Okay. But when I draw, in other words, now I take another ring of human beings and put it interior of that 24, comes out to 18 people. 18 people equals 18 amas. And the Gemara says, and that's what Rav Yochanan was talking about, a circumference of 18. The Gemara notes, 18 is a little too big. The Gemara says, yeah, that's an estimation, and that's an estimation we're comfortable with. Yes?
They're continuously rounding off things. Why don't they make it to 16 and 4 fifths, 17?
No, 16 and 4 fifths is not a rounded off number.
You really have 3.14.
No, 16 and 4 fifths is not a rounded off number. 16 and 4 fifths is the actual number. In other words, when you have a square, 4 by 4 amos, and then you do the hypotenuse, and then you roll and multiply it by 3, you get 16 and 4 fifths. That's not a rounded number. That's the actual number.
Well, it's rounded because you didn't use 3.14.
Yeah, but as we pointed out, though, the Gemara, time and again, allows for such a... The Gemara understands the ratio to be 3 to 1. Right? The Mishnah Erevin does it. The Navi does it. I mean, you're right. But that's an adjustment that's accepted throughout.
This 18 really makes pi
3.14.
Think about it.
Oh, okay, good. All right, everyone understand? I mean, it's a good point. But I'm sure it's not, again, I enjoy it as much as you do, but any time we try to move closer, we're never going to get there. Meaning the number itself doesn't exist. So, but correct, it does get closer. What is it if we multiply instead of 3 by 3.14?
It comes to very
something closer to 18.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I have a basic question because in Dalet it talked about the poles and those
right.
And you can say you can have a virtual 1x1 omelet as long as you can fit 1x1 in.
Correct.
Well, why can't you just make 7x7 tefachim? That's really the minimum.
But again, the Gemara's entire daf today, for reasons that are not clear to me, is assuming like Rabbi Yehuda and not like I'm sorry, Rabbi. Thank you. It's assuming like Rabbi and not like Beis Shammai, not like Beis Hillel. So why that is? Why Rabbi Yochanan does that? I don't know. But that's the assumption going into today's daf. Okay, good. That's it. It's not that difficult. It's very basic. So so to which the Gemara now says fine, and now we've successfully explained Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, it is a little bit difficult in that Rav Yochanan, first of all, giving out a number doesn't really mean that number. It means a number smaller than that. And, okay, fine. But we did it, and we were able to navigate our way through the discussion of converting a square sukkah into a circle. So the Gemara says, fine. Rabbanan de Kesari v'amla dayane de Kesaria amre. The Gemara gives us now, this is an interesting Gemara, these next four lines of Gemara. We have been spending some time now converting a square into a circle and a circle into a square. Okay? And and the Gemara now is going to tell us that in Caesarea, either the rabbis or the judges of Caesarea, it's two different versions of who they are, so they have a formula in terms of how to convert. Okay. Now I will tell you two things. First of all, their formula is no good. Okay, now that's a problem, and it's hard to sugarcoat it. In fact, it's even harder to sugarcoat it when the Gemara says that their formula is no good. So I'm not saying anything controversial, but their formula is no good. That's problem number one. The problem number two, which may end up helping their cause, is that we quite frankly don't know if they're talking about circumference perimeter or if they're talking about area. It's not clear. When the Gemara ends up rejecting, it certainly seems clear from the Gemara that the Gemara's understanding is that they were talking about perimeter and circumference, and not the area. And maybe if they were talking about area, maybe their position's defendable, perhaps. But okay, in other words, and why the Gemara's reporting this at all, if the Gemara's going to end up rejecting it, one of those things which, again, it's interesting and it's a bit unclear to me. But if all this sounds strange, it shouldn't, because we saw this earlier back in Erevin. Rabbanan de Kesari v'amla dayana de Kesari amre. So they made the following statement. Igula denafik migo revua. If I have a circle in a square, riv'a. So it is a quarter of the square. Now again, unclear if they're talking about circumference perimeter or if they're talking about the total area. But they say it's a quarter, a circle inside of a square. And revia denafik migo igula. And if I have a square inside of a circle, palga. Well, that relation, it's half. Again, unclear whether it's talking about the circumference or the area. Either way, velohi. And the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, they're wrong. They're not right. Dahaka chazin, delo havi kula hai. And if I draw a square inside of a circle, it's a half, it's not that much smaller. Okay, you do the math, you'll forgive me now, I'm not going to go through all the formula and all the computation right now, but you'll see it's not a half. The relationship is less than, it's closer than a half. Fine. Okay, that's it. The Gemara just made a declaration of what the rabbis of Caesarea thought in terms of what the relationship was, and the Gemara just surmisingly dismisses them. If you want more on this topic, you could start off by Tosos. Tosos on the top of Chesamad Beis, where Tosos does take time, significant time, trying to consider what the rabbis of Kesar were actually thinking and why the Gemara ends up rejecting them. And it's not, in other words, I read the Gemara very quickly, I went through it very quickly, and I just read the Gemara's dismissiveness of the statement of the rabbis of Kesaria. So you can see Tosos for more discussion on this topic. We're going to finish the daf, God willing. You don't have the time. You do have the time.
47.
Good. Let's finish the daf. Amar Rav Levi Mishum Rabbi Meir Shtei Sukkah Shal Yotzim Zuluf Nimizu. Okay, the Gemara over here describes the Yotzim. Pot makers, pottery makers, whatever. And the way that their houses were constructed is that it was a hut inside of a hut. In other words, there was an exterior hut and an interior hut. Okay. One basic point before we start with this discussion, which is really tomorrow's daf, but let's talk about it now. I build my sukkah. Okay, what kind of phenomenal kavanas do I need when I build my sukkah? Like, what do I have to be thinking about? Okay, quite frankly, not a lot. listen to music while you build your sukkah. You can do a lot of things while you're building a sukkah. Good. So, in other words, but does it need special kavana? No. In fact, as we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, it doesn't even have to be l'shem mitzvah. Okay. In other words, you know when you need the matzah. So I don't know if you know this, but when it comes time for needing the matzah, it has to be needed l'shem matzah's mitzvah. In other words, the intent has to be this is specifically for matzah. The Torah says v'shmartem es ha-matzos. You have to safeguard the matzos, and the Gemara understands that there's a special intent necessary when making the matzos, and that's for the mitzvah. Same thing for a sukkah. Tomorrow's daf is going to tell us no, not the same thing for a sukkah. In other words, I have a hut in my backyard. Great. Sukkahs, here we come. No problem. So the Gemara over here is going to point out that's the only thing, which we're going to see tomorrow, but we'll mention today, the only thing your sukkah needs to be is l'shem tzel. That when built, it was built for the purposes of shade and protection. That's it. That's all your sukkah needs to be. To which now the Gemara says, now let's see if it's inside. I'm Rav Levi, Mishum Rabbi Meir. So Rav Levi quotes in the name of Rav Meir, Shtei Sukkah Shal Yotzim. So I have two sukkahs, two huts, Zulufni Mizu. So again, the construct over here, one is interior, the other one's exterior. Rashi explains the interior, that's where basically the yotzer, that's where the craftsman spends most of his time, that's where he's constructing, that's where he's sleeping, that's like his main abode. The exterior, that's where he greets the customers. Hi, how are you? Let me tell you something. Okay, the difference between the interior versus the exterior. Ha'panimi se'en ha'sukkah, ve'chayavis be'mezuzah. Now the interior one is not a sukkah, and it's chayav be'mezuzah. Now, not a sukkah, why not? So Rashi explains, "In baleishe besocha bechag l'shem sukkah afagav delo beinat sukkah l'shem chag." Rashi here points out, and again, this is tomorrow's daf. We're going to see this tomorrow. When I build my sukkah, it doesn't have to be l'shem chag. Da'ka beis hil kaimalam demachshir sukkah. Demachashir sukkah yishana b'mas nisan. Tomorrow's mishnah, we're going to see beis hil says a sukkah doesn't have to be built l'shem sukkah. Hacha in a sukkah delo minkara milsa de l'shem sukkah hu dar. Boom. The problem, says Rashi, why can't that interior sukkah double as a sukkah for sukkahs? He's living there the entire year. Right? The idea behind sukkahs is I leave my permanent residence and I go to a temporary residence. Now it happens to be that it is physically a sukkah, but now he sits there and during the 7 days of sukkah says, okay, I'm in a sukkah. What do you mean? You've been there the whole year. You've been sitting there the whole year. Lo minka remilse. It's just simply not recognizable that he's sitting in a sukkah. Fine. That's why the interior hut cannot be used as a sukkah. And furthermore, says the Gemara, chayav in mezuzah. Also, it's obligated mezuzah. It's his permanent dwelling. It's his dira. Hachitzona sukkah. Now, the exterior hut, the one where he comes out of the interior, he meets the customers, he doesn't live there. If he wants to sit there on sukkahs during sukkahs as a sukkah, by all means, go for it. Uptum and a mezuzah, and also it's going to be exempt from a mezuzah because it's not a deer, it's not his residence. His residence is the interior. Okay, the Gemara, fine. And in terms of the halachas of sukkah, we're fine. We basically understand the interior is more of a permanent dwelling. That can't double as a sukkah, even though physically it's a sukkah. The exterior, where he doesn't live in the exterior, can double as a sukkah during sukkahs.
What about a person who just takes his skylight out and
makes a sukkah? Right, and he's living there year round, but there he's actually changing the structure of his house. He's actually taking off the roof and he's replacing it with schach. I remember years ago when I worked in Brooklyn over Shabbosim. during my years at YU. So I ate by the Boston Rebbe, not to be confused with the Boston Rebbe who lives in Boston. So we ate in his living room on Sukkos. And he knocked out the skylight exactly as he described, and he replaced it with schach, and it was rather amazing. And obviously he had walls going around, so that would be surrounded by walls, and that was the sukkah. So there you're changing the physical structure. Here, the yotzer is doing nothing, meaning he lives in a sukkah year round. So fine. The Gemara is bothered by one simple question. The Gemara asks a mezuzah question. The exterior is exempt from a mezuzah because he doesn't live there. Okay, but isn't it a gatehouse? Meaning, how does he get into his interior hut? By walking through the exterior. So doesn't it serve as a gatehouse? And don't we normally say that a gatehouse requires a mezuzah? So the Gemara says, Mishim de lo kviya. The Gemara says, yeah, but it's not a permanent structure. And because it's not a permanent structure, Rashi describes neither really being a permanent structure. Lo zu v'lo zu davar kavua. Veina panimis chashuva liosla beishar. So neither of them are permanent structure. Look, they're really just huts. So the interior is going to require a mezuzah because he lives there. But structurally speaking, it's not really even a house to begin with. So the interior requires a mezuzah, but the exterior, even though you could have made the argument it's a gatehouse, but it's not really a gatehouse, because these aren't really permanent structures. Tana Rabban and the Gemara continues, Ganvach, the Ganvach is an acronym for Sukkos Goyim, Sukkos Noshim, Sukkos Behema, Sukkos Kusim. The Sukkah of a non-Jew, a woman, Sukkah of animals, Sukkah of Kusim, Sukkah Mikomakom, Kshera, it's a Sukkah. Meaning, don't get confused between the structural term of sukkah and the mitzvah of sukkah. Meaning they live in huts, right? You have a hut that was designated for a non-Jew. You have a hut designated for a woman. Okay, that's fine. Meaning it qualifies as a sukkah, and if you want to sit in such a structure, that's fine. Now the only thing is, with one proviso, and that is it needs kasher schach. Now my kilchasa, what does that mean? So Amar Chista v'ushasa, let's sell sukkah. Let's sell sukkah. So the, no. V'ushasa, let's sell. Okay, thank you. The only thing is that it has to be, when the schach is laid on top, it has to be laid on top for the purpose of shade. As I described a moment ago, as the Gemara in Tamar's Daf is going to describe, it doesn't need to be built with shame mitzvah sukkah, but it has to be made for the purpose of shade. Sukkah mikom akom lasui emai. Then the Braisa says it's a sukkah mikom akom, meaning those are extra words in the Braisa. Why? So lasui sukkah rak vash. So the Gemara says because there are four other types of sukkahs which are also going to be kasher. Did Tana Rabbanim, we learned on a Braisa. Sukkahs rak vash, sukkahs roim, sukkahs kaitzim, sukkahs borganim, sukkahs shomrei peros. These are all sukkahs built for different watchmen. Watchmen of the figs, watchmen of the shepherd, whatever. Different types of watchmen. So, sukkah mikom akom kshera uvavacheitei mesuchachas keochasa. And again, this braisa says it's good. It serves as a kasher sukkah. Now, my keochasa, now again, the Gemara is going to repeat. What does that mean? I'm Rav Chista v'ushasa letzel. The schach is laid on the top for the purpose of shade. Sukkah mikom akom lasui emai. And then when the braisa says sukkah mikom akom, it's a sukkah nevertheless. Lasui sukkah ganvach. So this braisa, this is the second braisa, is alluding to the sukkah of goyim noshim, behema and kusim. So mishim, I'm sorry. So sukkah ganvach. All right. So basically, I have two braisas, and they're both making essentially the same point. I have a makeshift hut. It's good. Even if the people that it was intended to build for are not obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah, it doesn't matter. The hut's fine. It works as a sukkah. Even if it was made for people who are just going to be watching the field. So they're not living there. Once again, that's fine. As long as the schach was laid on the very top for the purposes of shade, it's fine. It's not a problem. Again, the basic point of the Gemara over here, which we're going to reiterate in tomorrow's Dav, is that the sukkah does not have to be made, l'shem mitzvah sukkah. As long as it's made for the purposes of shade and providing shade, it works. That's enough. That's sufficient. The only issue that the Gemara is going to deal with right now is one braisa focuses on the four people of Ganvach, Goyim Nashim, Behema, and Kusim, and the other braisa, Rakvash, is talking about people who are basically watchmen. So the Gemara just wants, and each Braisa is alluding to the other four people as well. So the Gemara just wants to know, why is one Braisa making its points, resting its claim on the Goyim Nashim Behema Kusim, and why is the other Braisa making its claim, right, putting all of its weight on the Rakvash and not the Ganvach? So the Gemara says, the Gemara explains, Hai Tana de Ganvach, Alima le Ganvach. Right, Hai Tana de Ganvach, Alima le Ganvach, Mishum de Kfiya. Look, the advantage of the sukkah made for the non-Jew, the woman, the behema, the kusi, is that these are permanent structures. Granted, they're built for people who are not obligated in sukkah, but they're permanent structures. The katanim kama kam lasu yirak vash, the lo kviya. And it alludes to and includes the other sukkahs, even though they're not permanent structures. And now we're going to go to the other braisa. V'hai tana de rakvash, alima le rakvash. He prefers rakvash because the b'nei chiva ninu. Because at least these huts were built for people who are obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. V'tana mikoma kam lasui ganvach. And the mikoma kam is coming to allude to ganvach, the lav b'nei chiva ninu. In other words, in the sukkah's ganvach, the goyim noshim behem akustim, those are built for people who are not obligated in a sukkah. So that's why the braisa alludes to them, but the main claim is on the rakvash, people who are obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah.
The Gemara assumes that
your point is well taken, right? And the Gemara is not concerned that it was constructed in an inverse fashion. Okay, good. Just a quick summary. We finished off the eight Tanayim, who all are of the opinion that a sukkah needs to be a sukkah kevan, not a sukkah sarai, a dearest kevan, not a dearest sarai. So Abai strung them together. We saw all eight of them. And then the most of today's daf we dedicated to Rav Yochanan, who says that if you want to make a circular sukkah, that's fine. It has to be 24 amas in circumference. That number 24 seems to be excessively large. And we spent the day today trying to chop that number down so we get to a number that we're kind of more comfortable with. Something closer to 16 and 4/5, which is the actual number necessary, assuming that the base area of a sukkah is 4x4 amas. And then the rest of today's daf, we dealt with a couple of braisas that dealt with a hut that was built not for the purpose of sukkah, just for the purposes of a hut. Is it okay? Is it acceptable? And the straightforward answer is yes, it is.